Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Houston Sports Awards presented by Insperity. I'm Sean Pendergast alongside Clint Sterner, and we're pleased to be joined right now by the head coach of the Texas A&M Aggies, Jimbo Fisher, joining us on the show here at the Houston Sports Awards. Coach, Houston's been pretty good to you these last few weeks.
It really has.
Yeah.
It really has. We had a great bowl game down here, and it's a great city, and we're recruiting the heck out of this city.
Yeah, well, and as you should be, right? How big is something like that, the bowl game? Obviously, the result of the bowl game was great, but just the presence to be able to be down here in Houston for that time surrounding the bowl
game. Well, I think it's good. I mean, again, anytime people know you're there, and the kids, they know all the bowl games. They say it was actually the fourth most attendance. We had great attendance, yeah. And everything was there. And this city is always going to be so vital to our success because of being so close and having so many players. It's one of the best sports cities in all the country, and best for high school football.
Coach, what about the difference? You've coached in the, what I would say the two best conferences in America is, man. What's the difference between your former establishment and the Texas A&M Aggies?
Well, I mean, I think both are great. Both are, you know, have been at the top of college football and both committed. I think the one thing Texas A&M is definitely done, we're committed to being excellent, and they're putting all the resources and administration behind it. But they did it at Florida State, too. I mean, Florida State's one of the great brands in college football. But A&M, there's a uniqueness there. I think there's a special opportunity there because you have so many people that are so committed. You have so many resources, and you're in a state that has so many football players that once you get up there, I think it's a place that can be established and be on top for a long, long time.
What's your sense on what the presence of Texas A&M in the SEC has done as far as the competitiveness of recruiting in Texas?
Kids want to play in the SEC.
Yeah.
It's that simple. I mean, the kids see TV. They see the number of players that are drafted. You're almost double every other conference. Not that those guys don't play great ball, but, I mean, there's more players there. And so kids want to go where the best players are, where the most notoriety, where the most coverage, most guys going to the NFL. And so that gives you a huge advantage. The kids want to play in the SEC.
Coach, you play in the toughest conference on the toughest side of the of the conference. And then you go out and have to play Clemson as well. What a monster schedule, man. I mean, how do you weather that storm? Obviously, you did a good job of weathering it. Not what you wanted, but you did a good job weathering that storm. You know, how do you see moving forward here? How do you prep your guys for that kind of gauntlet to run through every single year?
Well, I think, you know, one thing you do, the physicality of this side of the league and everything that goes on, it is that's part of it. But it also set a standard for what you have to be. And we were very close in a lot of those games, won a few games here and there as far against those teams. But what it did, it set the standard for your kids and your program to know what you have to do to get there. And our kids took note of that. And I think the way we're recruiting now and the way recruiting is going, we've had two top five classes right in a row. Back-to-back, and so now you're having some added depth and size and things that go into that league, and you know that. It's attrition. Even though you have a great set of front guys, going that league and when you play those teams, you got to have quality backups, and it's almost like having two sets of starters because you got to get through them and you got to get through the league, and I think now with our depth we can get there, and I think they understand how to get there and what it's going to take to get there.
Jimbo Fisher, head coach Texas A&M, joining us here at the Houston Sports Awards on Sports Radio 610. Give us a report card on your quarterback this past season, Kellen Mond.
I think he did some great things. I think took a big step in not just the first time was trying to prove he could play, you know what I'm saying, and getting his feet on the ground within the offense. Then, I mean, indoctrinating himself and his personality on the rest of the team because he understood what to do. He understood how it was going and helping the young guys get indoctrinated into that. He's a tremendous competitor. He can throw the football. He can run it. But he also has really learned to play the mental game and understand blitz control, understand coverages, and we give him a lot of freedom within our offense. And I think he's got one more year, and I think I'm looking forward to a great year as a senior year.
Coach, you're known for being able to develop quarterbacks. I mean, all great college coaches can develop them to a certain degree, but you're one of the guys that when I talk about quarterback play, I love the way your guys play the game. And so what is your QB 101 as a quarterback developer? Obviously, there's a lot more to your job than developing quarterbacks,
no, exactly.
But it's important. What do you believe in developing those guys,
man? You know,
there's
so many people say, what makes a great quarterback? Well, there's different quarterbacks have different strengths. The first is identifying what they can and cannot do. There's got to be an unbelievable competitiveness. But to me, quarterbacking gets down to two things at the end of the day, decision-making and accuracy. Am I making the right decision? Am I getting my team, whether it's a run play or a pass play, going to the right guy, going to the right matchup, checking out the right thing? And can I hit what the heck I throw it? I hear guys all the time, well, that guy's got a great arm. He can throw it. All right. Who's catching it? Can it be caught? Is he a passer or just have a strong arm? And to me, it's decision-making and accuracy. And then you have to take his skill set and mold it around those. Those things can never be compromised. But, you know, is he a runner? Is he a short thrower? Can he handle the middle of the field? Is he a deep ball guy? Is he an RPO guy? You know, whatever those skills are. But at the end of the day, to me, quarterbacking gets down to decision-making and accuracy. And then how well his feet and everything are, you got to build the things around him.
Do you find in watching the NFL game that you're starting to see more and more things in the NFL game that you coach in the college game?
There's no doubt. I mean, the passing game, we've always been a pro passing game.
Yeah.
We've always done that with sights, hots, and having to redeclare the mics and do all that stuff. The RPO game is a little bit, but the difference in college football and pro football, they're saying the quarterback running game with Lamar and some of those guys are, but now how long that lasts and how healthy they are is going to be one thing. But the one thing that will never get into the NFL game is the RPOs because they won't let the linemen downfield. And I think that's where college ball and pro football are so different.
Yeah. Jimbo Fisher is with us on Sports Radio 610. Of course, when you were at Florida State, you had to game plan for Deshaun Watson back then.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, he's our guy here now in Houston. Can you give us a little insight as to what it was like being an opposing head coach going against Deshaun back collegiately?
Here's the thing about Deshaun to me. There's certain guys that have a factor about them that, all right, you've planned for it. Say, you scheme him up. You've got it done. He's like a chameleon. He can change and find ways to be. To me, it goes back to that competitive nature, that competitive spirit, and the ability to adjust on the run. And certain people have a psychological disposition to make themselves do things in big moments that other people just can't do. And Deshaun was always one of those guys. I mean, we had battles and wars with him.
Oh,
we had great teams. They had great. Whoever won that was winning the ACC, and both of us were playing for national championships
then.
Right. But he always had the ability to, whatever he had to do, could push himself up, whether it was a run, a throw, break a tackle. Mm-hmm. And that affects your teammates. You know, we were having with Jameis and Francois and E.J. Manuel. We had those guys, too. And those guys, what you don't realize is not just what they do. It's the effect that they have on their teammates that they do it because they want to do it for him because they have such a belief in him. You know, and I think that's that quarterback. They talk about that it factor. It's not just them. It's how they affect their teammates. And Deshaun has all that.
Yeah.
Coach, I want to talk about another one of your guys real quick. Jameis Winston obviously had a good year statistically as far as yardage and touchdowns and things. But that interception number just keeps climbing up there, man. You've been in the huddle. You've been on the sideline. I've seen you and him go at it on the sideline. Is he ever going to get beyond that? Is that something?
Well, he was for us. Yeah, people go back. He had his freshman year for us when he won the Heisman Trophy. He was 42 touchdowns and 8 picks.
Yeah.
I mean, he was 42-8 as a freshman. The next year, we didn't have as many picks. He was 24-12, I think it was. It got a little higher, but we took chances. But again, those go back to decision-making and accuracy. And that's what I think. But Jameis is a guy. He was the easiest guy I ever coached. The smartest guy ever coached. I mean, unbelievably recall. You put something in, you could pull it back from 8 weeks later and pull it in. He knew everything. He knew what everybody was doing. He was fun to coach. We had a relationship where we were arguing. It was like, I mean, he wouldn't do this. But he had such a great feel and prepared as much as anybody I ever had. So I think he will. Sometimes you want to press yourself. Now, they had big numbers. I think if they can cut that back, because they got a good – I think Bruce is a good fit for him. I really do. I think one more year of that, and I think if they get going and do it one more year, I think you'll see Jameis. Because Jameis was, for me, was as fun to coach as anybody I ever coached.
I want to ask you one more quarterback question, Coach, before we let you go. You went against Joe Burrow this year. It looks like he might wind up being the number one pick in the draft. And his improvement from year to year was one of the most stark
– Yeah, it
just,
was.
You know, just noticeable improvements from one year to another. Do you think Joe Burrow is worthy of a number one overall pick?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, from what he did, and I mean, that's arguably as good a year as any quarterback has ever had in NCAA history.
Yeah.
I mean, so he has great mind. He handles the blitz well. So you know he has a great command of what's going on. He's accurate. He's accurate down the field as anybody you've ever been around. But the thing about him is you don't realize how good an athlete he is. He's a very sneaky athlete.
Yeah.
And his legs and feet create a lot of plays, whether it's a scramble or keeping a play alive, and he does a great job of keeping his eyes up when he moves. And from the year he had this year, there's no doubt. Now, that's one great year. Now, that's the thing the NFL's got to decide.
That's
is that
right.
Just one? But Joe, to me, was one heck of a football player. I mean, and he was utterly amazing this year.
What's your sense on the mood up in Aggieland heading into year
Very
three
excited.
Of the Jimbo
I mean,
Fisher?
Two, you know, we're back-to-back top five recruiting classes. First time we've ever been able to do that. And I think building the depth in which you got to have, which I was talking about. We're getting size, length, got some great young players. And the older guys understanding the culture of how we do things and the way we do things. I think it's going to be a good mix. The kids are hungry. I think we got a chance to have a really good football team. I'm excited to get going.
Yeah, well, we're excited to watch it. Coach, we appreciate you spending a few minutes with us here.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you guys.
Good to be with you. Coach Jimbo Fisher joining us here on Sports Radio 610 from Texas A&M. Yeah, you asked him about the schedule, Clint. I mean, nobody played more top five teams than Texas A&M this past
year. Yeah, I mean, it was and you know, when the season, here's the thing about the SEC West that I think people talk about it being a tough conference and yada yada, and it's great, and it is. But the scary thing is the gap between the top two or three teams and the rest. That gap isn't as big as it is at other places, right? And so you have LSU jumps up and goes and wins a national title. Florida is a team that was down a few years. Boom, they'll jump up and have a chance to make a run at a national title sooner rather than later. I think Dan Mullen's a great coach. So you got five or six teams in that division that any given year could make a run at a national title, and that's why the SEC is quote unquote the toughest conference in college football. And golly, boy, he couldn't have drew a Coach Fisher at A&M couldn't have had a worse draw as far as his year two goes with that schedule that he had last year.
I feel like when the two of you got chopping it up about quarterbacks, Coach, I should have just backed away and Coach, let the two of you do your thing.
I love it, man.
I should have just written down the names of a few quarterbacks and go, here, ask him about
Sean,
these for me.
You know what the beautiful – here's a beautiful
he
thing about
doing
it.
A, you do your Stern talk. He was doing a fish talk.
Here's the beautiful thing about it. If you brought in one of these gurus, right, that's all that done – whether they ever played the position or not, they went out on one of these coasts and learned from some dude. They'd come sit over there and talk about ground force and rotational power and yada, yada, yada. Did you hear him mention all that one time? Not one time did
no.
he mention. He said, no, you take that man's skill set.
He kept
right?
it simple.
Keep the skill set. Get his feet right. Work around the skill. I mean, there's just so many beautiful things, and he's one of the best in the business at bringing a quarterback in. If he's 6'5" and can throw it a country mile, he can win with him. If he's a dual-threat kid that can do the QB plus one run game like Kellen Mond has, he can win with that kid too. And so it's just, golly, you try to take these quarterbacks and build them into something that they're not. It's just let's develop their weaknesses, but let's really put an emphasis on their strengths when they can play the game. That's what's important.
I didn't want to say this to Coach Fisher, because I didn't want to imply that going 7-5 is okay.
Right.
But the Aggies that I talked to.
8-5, right, after the bowl game?
8-5, including the bowl. I'm talking about regular season. The Aggies that I talked to, Tyler, our guy over here is one of them, that I talked to, I always ask him, hey, look, you guys are talented enough as a program where if you were in the Big 12, you'd probably be competing for the damn conference title.
Yeah.
You'd probably be 10-2 at least.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't appreciate that question.
No. Well, but the question I ask the Aggies, I say, would you rather be competing for a Big 12 championship or just being in the SEC playing all these big games every
right.
week? Every single Aggie I've talked to, and I've talked to a lot of them, has said we'd rather be in the SEC. We'd rather be 7-5 playing Alabama and LSU and Auburn and all these other teams, Georgia.
Immediately separates them from the rest of the schools in Texas, man. No doubt. You know what I mean? It's the only school in Texas that you can go play. All the other ones are playing in the same conference.
Yeah, look at B-Mac dropping a
I hear him. I hear him.
We got all this music going in the background. We can still hear that, B-Mac. It's like a dog whistle. All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.